Microphone. A lot of you guys don't know this, but I do speaking engagements with Redeemed Ministries, but I haven't really done it here. And Les asked me, and just recently I just decided I'm going to say yes. You know, I'm just going to say yes. I don't feel ready. Doesn't matter. None of us are ready. But I'm just going to say yes. I think that's a good... This keeps slipping down. What's happening? Okay, so this morning, I'm going to talk on Romans 12. Now, that's such a fabulous chapter. You could go for weeks just talking on that one chapter. And in fact, David said he knew somebody who took the first two scriptures of Romans 12 and taught on us for weeks on that. I was going to call this When Wounds Don't Heal, but we're going to change. We changed the name to Fixer Upper. Who watches the TV show Fixer Upper? I do. I love that show. Do you watch it? Oh my gosh. Chip and Joanne, I wish they were my best friends. But anyways, they're up in Waco. I'm going to go see their place someday soon. But anyways, the thing that I love about this show is that they take something that's cheap, nasty, or really falling down, or just kind of outdated, and they fix it up and make it fresh and then increase the value of the house. And they did this for Max Lucado's daughter. And it was, if you just want to see one show, that is one to see. But anyway, so let's talk about how God heals old wounds. Like sometimes we have a wound, it just doesn't heal. And we're like, well, you know, that's just, it is what it is. That's a new thing we all say. It is what it is. Well, sometimes it isn't what it is. You know, sometimes it can be healed. We just don't know how. We don't have a vision for it. We don't know how God's going to do that. Here's a house. I don't know if you can see, but this is an old farmhouse. And most people would just tear that down. If you go on their website, you can see the inside. Mold. Whoever lived there left half their junk there. But it was like somebody put a, I mean, they must have like 20 kids or something, because there's, that place is a mess, inside and out. And, but no, instead of tearing that down, they fixed that up. So that's the before picture. Let's just read Romans 12. First, I wanted to tell you about, when I was a kid, my mom was an ordained Foursquare minister. So my dad was just an artist and a mechanic, and she was the preacher, and she had like the Foursquare. She wore that like Amy Semple McPherson. She wore that long dress and a cape and a shield that had a cross with the Foursquare on it. And she was a preacher, and when she had kids, that woman was going to have godly kids, because she had decided. So she used to make my sister and I memorize scripture. And you know what two kids are like, sitting on that couch like, oh, don't make, oh. And it'd be like before school, we had to work on our scripture memory, and the kids that we were going to walk to school with us were there. We had a big picture window looking out onto the cul-de-sac in Los Angeles, and those kids would be like, are Beth and Karen going to come out? And we're on that couch just like, oh, it's painful. And she'd make us go over and over and over it. And then she'd say, okay, you can go to school now. But, you know, I was just, it was painful. I'd be like, you imagine little kids like, oh, I can't sit still. Anyway, that woman persevered, and we learned the entire chapter of Romans 12. And as an adult, I can say that's one of the most important things that I've have had in my adult life, is that I know Romans 12. I know that. That is in me. I know those words. It's just like normal to me. The gifts, how to behave as a Christian, how to forgive people. You know, just, it's all there. It's been there in the back of my mind, in the foundation of my life. So when I said yes to Les, I was going to teach, I thought, Lord, what do I teach on? He said, teach what you know. And I know Romans 12. Yeah. So, okay, so Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. David, you're going to do the screen. Okay, so here it goes. I've lost some memory of the whole chapter, but I do know very well. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Okay, so as I'm studying freshly at this, I love to get into the original Greek words and get out my interlinear and my vines and really find out what do those words mean. So the word for conformed, it says do not be conformed to the world. That word means schematic. The Greek word is schematizos. Suschematizo. So that actually means, it's the base word for the word schematic, like blueprint, and in that setting, it's like the plan to build something. So he's saying, don't take your plan to build something from the world. Take it from the Lord. But the Lord transforms, and that original work is metamorpho. And that actually means metamorphosize. When I was young and working my first job in an office, I worked in Beverly Hills. And what a deal that was, you know. I'm just in my little old broken down car from the valley, but these beautiful homes. And what they do there is, if somebody with a lot of money wants an address in Beverly Hills, it's hard to find a house. But you can find an old house and out of style, but maybe even in good condition. But what they do is they spend a couple of million buying that, tear it down, and then they build a $20 million house. So I always thought that was kind of weird. Like, where do people get money like that? You know, like, I'm going to buy something for $2 million and get rid of it and start over because I want what I want. But that's a true metamorphosis. When you actually tear something down to the dirt to start over. But what's really interesting about God is that very rarely does he just tear it completely down to the dirt and start over. But he does do that sometimes with folk. But he likes to fix what's already there. And he usually he can look at a house and see the bones and say, I can work with that. Okay. I love science. That's one of my, you know, guilty pleasures. I love to read about science. And one of the things that really fascinates me is the second law of thermodynamics, which says, it states that entropy of any isolated system always increases. It doesn't mean it get better. The entropy increases, meaning everything's getting worse. Like when you buy, you know, broccoli at the store, especially if you buy organic, that broccoli isn't gonna get fresher. So everything is falling apart. We're all falling apart all the time, but God, you know. Okay, so in my life, I've always had this attitude like, you know, people are like, no pain, no gain. Well, my life statement has always been, no pain, no pain. Just seems like, why would you want that? Well, what happened to me, some of you guys know, last year I broke my leg. I was walking at night along a patio, and I stepped into a swimming pool that I didn't see was there, and it was a shallow end, so I went down and broke my leg. That was incredibly painful, but only when I moved, you know. But anyways, they took me to the hospital, and I had surgery, and they put in a plate and screws, and it was, everything changed in my life after that. I mean, just everything. My brain thought differently. My perspective was different, and God delivered me from smoking cigarettes, which I'd prayed for years. I was a closet smoker. You know, I just was ashamed, just so ashamed. It was, you know, I didn't want people to know. You know, I'm a nice lady. I'm a church-going lady in the South, but no, I'm out there in my garage. Anyways, I'd ask the Lord, just deliver me, please, because I've tried to quit, and I just can't quit. And do you know what? I broke my leg, and he delivered me from smoking. There you go. But it wasn't just that. you can't smoke when you're in the hospital. And I was in the hospital for 3 weeks because it was a difficult fracture. It was the largest bone in your body, my femur, and it was a really complicated fracture. The funny thing about it was they said, they put me in a wheelchair, they let me go. When I broke that bone, the trauma of breaking that bone and what it did to my brain. Now, trauma can do two things to you. It can either make you worse after something bad happens, or it can make you better. Because what happens to the brain is that, boom, it's like somebody just shifted gears and you didn't even have a gear shift in that car. So it's like everything can change. And what happened for me was everything changed, but I no longer even thought of cigarettes, just gone. So here's my life, avoiding pain, hiding from pain, ignoring it, covering it up, and then I'm in a wheelchair. And I had some really wonderful friends came and just devoted 8 weeks of their life to help me out in California. And after 8 weeks, they said, you're okay, you can go home to Texas now. Hang out in the wheelchair a little bit longer until you're stronger. And then you're fine. Find a doctor out there. I came out here, found a doctor. He said, everything's healing great. And then I started saying, 3 months after the accident, still hurts. Really, really still hurts so bad. You know, I'm waking my husband up at night crying in my sleep. That's how much pain I'm in. And the doctor says, oh, well, your body's addicted to the pain pills. So I'm not going to give you any more. That's why you're hurting. Your body's giving you pain, so you'll take more pills. I'm like, no, something's wrong. And then I just thought, well, I don't want to think about it. I'm just going to hang out here and just wait. So my patience was improper because I really should have thought, what's wrong? Something's wrong. Because you know in your gut, when something's hurting and it just doesn't go away and you've done everything right, let's say you have something happen to your family and you're just, we did everything right. You know, what's going on? And you just think, well, you know, I'm going to tough it out. It is what it is. Well, sometimes it isn't what it is. When I finally realized that God was saying, listen to your gut, I found a new doctor and I went there. And when I went there, they said, oh, you shouldn't be in pain like that. Let's take a new picture. And they took a new MRI, they took a CAT scan and X-ray. And lo and behold, guess what they saw? It wasn't healed. The bone had never healed. It was what they call a non-union. No unity there. So I went from not in pain, not knowing why, to knowing why. And I still wanted the, please, where's the no pain, no pain? You know, when is it going to be over? And I was so mad at God when I found out it was still broken. I thought, wait a minute. It's still broken? What do you mean it's still broken? And, you know, like in our lives when bad stuff happens, we're like, oh, no, this is over. I'm not letting this, you know. But sometimes it carries on. You think, what in the world is going on, God? So I was really mad. I didn't even talk to the Lord about it for 3 weeks. And finally I just said, Lord, what's going on? It's still broken. I've been depressed. I've been upset. And God spoke to my heart and said, what changed? And I'm thinking, what does that mean? You know, what changed? And then I thought, nothing changed. It was broken before. It's still broken now. Nothing changed. And he said, well, why are you upset now? And I thought, oh, because I started being angry and at you. So I just went back to, okay, I'm going to be at peace. I'm going to be patient. And you're going to show me a way out of this. So it was kind of really amazing how God began to move in my heart to just trust him, just persevere. you know. And thankfully, the new doctor said, you can walk, but not too much. I don't want you exercising. I'm like, oh, great. But, you know, I have to be patient. Now, we can wait for God to move on something that's really been hurting us for a long time. Or we can complain about it and be miserable. And it's much, you know, if God's calling you to wait on something, it's just better to just be happy about it. You know, just like, you got a choice. You can be miserable and you can be happy. Or it's just like marriage. You can be married and miserable, or you can be married and happy. But you're married, you know. You're going to have to work on it. So the Lord, as I was going through this season, the Lord really started teaching me about things that don't heal. Like, what's wrong? So my doctor said, well, let's find out why it won't heal. And he said, we did some tests, and he sent me to a specialist. And this is what they said. There's a systemic problem in your body that won't heal the bone. So the broken bone wasn't my problem. My problem was the systemic. So the whole system was not working together. And this is why, if you move to the thing that says climate change. Okay, so climate change. There's a climate in my body that's not healing the bone. And the Lord just began to speak to me and says, sometimes we got a climate in our body, in our mind, and so our old wounds just won't heal. So God is really wanting to say this morning to all of us, I have a plan to heal that thing that you just, that hurt, really hurt. It's a wound that didn't heal. And you just, in our typical fashion as Americans and Southern Americans, we just like, just keep going. Just going to keep going. I'm going to tough it out. I want to make it happen. But, you know, this is not healed. And sometimes it's a systemic problem. And the Lord showed me that in Romans 12 is the answer for when things don't heal. And here's how you get the climate change so the healing starts to happen. And these are questions you can ask yourself. Okay, here we go. Romans 9 through 18 talks about this is how we get the climate for healing. Let love be without hypocrisy. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those that persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. And do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. That one really stood out at me. It's never been my nature to be vindictive, to get back at somebody. But I have, in my adult life, met people that said, you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. There are people like that. And sometimes we encounter them. And sometimes that's the unhealed spot. And we want to hurt them back. We want to, like, figure out some way that they can at least suffer a little bit what they've done to us. But God's saying, that's not going to heal you. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. And if it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, because the Lord says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. So these steps are what begin to heal the systemic problems that we have. And in Ezekiel If somebody wants to read Ezekiel 37 for me, I would love that. Ezekiel 37, verse 7, and then 9 through 12. And David, get the... Because this is what the Lord really showed me about my heart, my mind, my soul, and my body.
We ready?
Ezekiel 7, and then jump to 9 through 12.
Then he said to me, no, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and said to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds of breath and breathe into this slain that there may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up at their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dry up and the hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and said to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel.
That is so full of hope. I'm going to take you up out of your grave. Sometimes God is just asking, like in the climate change part, be positive, be joyful, and have a hopeful heart. Sometimes we just don't have it, or we try to make it happen for ourselves. But what we can do is just say, God, give me a hopeful heart. You know, Lord, I don't have a hopeful heart right now. There is no condemnation if you don't have a hopeful heart. But you can ask him, help me have hope and give me some joy while I'm waiting for this to be healed. God's blueprint is to completely change us. And we want that metamorphosis. And sometimes as we get older, it's almost like we're like, we got a backpack on, and the memories are going in the backpack, and it's getting heavier and heavier. But I have seen people be able to unpack that, even in their 70s, and have a young heart again. And that's something that I'm asking the Lord to heal in me, teach me, fulfill me, and heal my leg. Meanwhile, we're still waiting for more healing. But while we're waiting, we're working on the system. The materials to make bone, D3 and calcium. The environment for the body to heal it. The blood, the oxygen. And the hormones that tell your body, start making new bone. So all of those things basically are something God can provide spiritually. The materials and the environment. As we just learn to walk with him. And I'm going to just suggest, I want you to see this house, this old beaten up house that Chip and Joanne bought for a couple, they helped a couple buy, and they did the renovation. And this is the big reveal when they were done. Just a beautiful home, just fresh. They didn't tear it down to the ground, they fixed it up. And on that house, needed all new piping. It had lead pipe. And it had, the lead was seeping into the water, causing the people that lived there to be sick. And they replaced every piece of piping in that place. It's quite expensive, but it's all fine now. Nobody's getting sick there anymore. Anyway, so that's what I really wanted to share with you this morning. The last thing is if you would like to do some more prayer and study, these are the questions that I think you can ask yourself when you maybe go home if you want to do that. And the questions are, ask the Lord and ask yourself, what is one of the unhealed broken bones in your life? How long are you going to stand the pain before you get help? And the last one is pretty tough, but who do I need to forgive to get the ball rolling? And that's what I wanted to share with you this morning. Let's just pray now. Lord Jesus, thank you so